parece
el punto más alto.
And then also one from one of the important important certificates.
Okay. And the two, our informal is missing. Thank you very much. It's unfortunate, I was saying, let's put the joke aside, it's unfortunate that the members of the committee are unable to attend because of the business of parliament. It's for women. Yeah. So one of the women, yeah. So Udaki, fortunately, were actually here. Now, before us, there is one principal, or there are two, consideration and adoption of the committee Lekas report, and then adoption of the committee minutes, announcement and closure. Can I hear the members on the item three? Can I make a proposal with you? Yeah. On item number three, can we say consideration of the committee legacy report and omit the word adoption so that we don't, in the very first day of the presentation of the report, adopt it? I'm sure members will agree with me that the report will be presented to yourselves for the first time. And it may, you're saying, you may pick up some, you may want to effect some changes here and there. You may want to remove or expand some sentences or some whatever. You may want to make some insertions. You may want the secretariat to effect certain improvements. And if we adopt today, that space would have been closed to us. But if we consider, and then we say whatever we say, then we refer it back to them, they look at it, then next week or the other week, or I think they should work hard next week, we then look at it, then we can probably consider and adopt. You would remember what was happening about the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was shuttling to and fro, so it may not be an easy thing to adopt. It may not, we may be unnecessarily ahead of ourselves. Can we hear you with a proposal on item number 10? Honorable Raput.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Note for the adoption is and delete the adoption of the committee as the chair has requested that it should be in consideration the report of the committee legacy report, and we delete that adoption.
That agreed to?
Second.
Agreed to Honorable Kalyan and Honorable Desoma. So it's consideration of the committee's legacy report. Now, consideration of the committee legacy report. Is it just left like that, or is it supposed to be comma 2014-2019? Just say, are we not supposed to capture the? It may happen like that in the actual report, but what are we referring to? For purposes of practice of parliament.
Well, good morning, Honourable Members.
Good morning.
For purposes of the report itself, Chairperson, it's a report which is covering the fifth parliament, the whole term of 2015, and it starts in May 2014, ending this financial year, 2019, March. So, it's a letter, isn't it?
No, Ngetimina, law number 3, shouldn't we say consideration of the committee legacy report? Then we say comma 2014-2019, or we say comma 5th parliament. But something here shows up for purposes of...
The program,
okay,
the program. Yeah. Yes, 5th parliament.
Or city, comma 5th parliament.
Yes, Chair.
Okay, let me defer to you. There are committee minutes that will be there with announcements if they are in. Let's hand over to you for a presentation, the mail and the comments of that.
Which the committee undertook would not have been explained in this, I mean, in totality, but a summary of the activities would be reflected. So the other thing is that the legacy report itself is meant to be handing over notes to the incoming committee. So it's not even ATC. The committee can adopt it, but it's not going to be published in Parliament. And it's not even going to be sent to the department, because it's meant to guide the incoming committee as to the activities that this committee undertook and the issues that they would like to highlight for the attention of the incoming committee. Then, honourable members, the executive summary will try to sum up some of the highlights in committee's work for the past 5 years. So the first thing is that the committee actually had its own strategic plan, 2014-2019, which was the basis for, you know, the program of the committee and the way it undertook, it executed its mandate. So that strategic plan was informed by the priorities of government, that is SONA, and also the medium-term priorities that government dictated in 2014. And also the parliamentary strategic plan, and also the committee looked into the strategic plan of the department so that the oversight focus areas will be in sync or will be linked to the activities that the department is setting itself to do. Then, honorable members, when this committee started its work, from the onset, an important resolution was taken by the committee to say, unlike other committees, in this particular committee which oversees the execution of or the implementation of foreign policy of South Africa, it was agreed that in this particular committee there will be only one message communicated to the outside world. So the committee agreed on that. While they agreed that they could have discussions, party inclined discussions within the committee, but communication to the outside world will be on South Africa's foreign policy, one message and one position. Now, further, in line with the solidarity and support of peaceful resolution of conflict in Western Sahara and the Israeli Palestine issue, the committee engaged both the department and also opposing civil society groups on this matter. And the outcome of that interaction and engagement with civil society, which were pro-Israeli and the others pro-Palestine, South Africa's foreign policy positions were supported on both instances. Then the other thing was that the committee has recorded a number of milestones, you know, milestone achievements within these 5 years. And one such milestone is that the committee had legislation to deal with. The Foreign Service Bill, in fact, legislation as such in this committee from the fourth parliament to the fifth parliament, there has never been any legislation being dealt with by this committee. So this was the first time, and it was meticulously processed by the committee. And that ended up, the National Assembly adopted the bill on the 21st of November 2018. And then this bill will regulate, will assist the department to actually manage foreign service and has a single foreign service. And then also it will also enable the department to actually be able to monitor performance of missions abroad. and then the committee will also be following up on, we'll have an oversight strategy to follow up on the implementation of the DF. However, the committee met with a challenge in the execution of this mandate, which is the oversight, the parliamentary oversight model, which, as members you remember, only actually talks to oversight inside the borders of South Africa. Anything that goes beyond the borders of South Africa is not considered as an oversight, it's considered as a study tool. But this committee, for the first time, it was able to conduct a milestone oversight to Namibia, where it was able to come up with a landmark determination on the custodianship of vacant state-owned land parcels and properties abroad. And the outcome of that oversight visit goes beyond custodianship of vacant state-owned land parcels. It actually covers all properties now. All properties of government which are abroad, which are being used or under the custodianship of, under the custodianship of missions abroad, now they will be under the custodianship of the Minister of International Relations. So that has helped to actually unlock an impasse which existed since 1994 between the Department of Public Works and the Department of International Relations in terms of who maintains these properties, how are they disposed of, and how are they managed. So that issue now has been successfully resolved. Now, another thing is that the committee took a study tour to Canada in comparing best practices on regulation of the Forest Service. So that study tour was, first ever taken by this committee in relation to comparing best practices for Forest Service. The other thing, honourable members will remember that the department, the assessment of the department, the committee assessed the department and came to a conclusion that the overall political and diplomatic performance of the department has been excellent and constant over the past 5 years. And the manner that the department has portrayed South Africa internationally is commendable. Members also came to a conclusion that there are challenges facing the department, which also have been constant throughout the 5 years that the committee was overseeing the activities of the department, and these are operational issues. And the committee has constantly also tried to respond to the activities of the department, be it on political and diplomatic work, and also with regard to these operational issues which have been a problem with the department for a long time. Then the committee had to be innovative. The fact that there was no readily no possibility of taking off an oversight to the missions abroad, where the committee could have verified information that they would have gained from the department itself. The committee decided to engage with individual experts, think tanks, institutions of higher learning, and institutions working on international relations matters, former ambassadors, the media, civil society, youth, and embassies resident in South Africa, in order for them to get an independent view of the issues that they would have gained from their discussions or the briefings by the department. So in order to balance whatever information the department was given to the committee, it had to revert to using this innovative way of engaging with other partners who have interest in the work of the committee. Then every year, honourable members will remember that there will be, the committee would have its own business plan, which would have emanated from the strategic plan, which is for 5 years. However, due to the nature of the mandate of the committee, international relations being ever evolving, the committee had to adapt to even methods that emerged and had to adjust its program from time to time. And this resulted in certain circumstances, finding that some of the items would have to be removed from the program. And also there was a discussion which the members never finalized of having an extra day to allow the committee to navigate its program, so that its set program could be done on Wednesday, and then any other day they would dedicate discussions to emerging methods, but that was never finalized. And the committee also had received a number of delegations, people who were coming to see the committee, I mean to discuss issues with the committee, either following up on their aid or assistance to South Africa, or the youth from China, for example, who came to actually address the committee. And then the chairperson of the committee himself received courtesy calls from about 25 ambassadors during the term. Then, when assessing itself, the committee believes that it has achieved its mandate, and it has performed in accordance with the program, with its agreed program, and it's a strategic plan which it has planned for 5 years. And the challenge remains to be with the oversight model of Parliament, and some of the intended oversight which would have benefited the committee could not take place. Then, honourable members, quickly, the secretary will go over the committee's program for the past 5 years. What issues, just to remind members, what issues actually the committee dealt with.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, my presentation will focus on the reflection on committee programs, program per year, starting with 2014. In 2014, the committee dealt with orientation workshop, which introduced members to international relations. And also the committee visited the different branches of the department, which presented on their varying work to familiarize the committee on different areas of international relations. In 2015, the committee began its work by processing the Foreign Service Bill, and also undertook an oversight visit on the implementation of the Joint Commission between the Republic of South Africa and Islamic Republic of Iran, which took place from the 9th to the 11th of May 2015. The committee further received a briefing by the department on its strategic plan 2015 to 2020 and the annual performance plan 2015 to 2016. and also received an expert analysis on the performance of the department. The committee further received a briefing by the department on the current political situation in South Sudan. During this year, the committee further received a briefing by a stakeholder on conflict resolution processes in South Sudan, and further received a briefing by the department on South Africa-Cuba relations and the latest developments on the Cuba-SA relations. And the committee further received a briefing on the outcomes of the 7th BRICS Summit, which was held on the 7th to the 9th of July in Ufa in Russia, and also received an analysis of conflicts and insurgencies in Africa and processes of conflict resolution aimed to address them, and South Africa's peacemaking efforts in the Sotho, Burundi, and South Sudan. The committee closed its year in 2015 by receiving a briefing on privileges and immunities extended to diplomats in South Africa and challenges of implementation in relation to the Vienna Convention on Privileges and Immunities in Diplomatic Relations, 1961. Progressing to 2016, during this period, the committee discussed the strategic plan of the department, which was meant to assist the committee to identify critical areas which were of concern in the implementation of South Africa's foreign policy in the past 5 years. The committee further received a briefing by the department on South Africa's strategic role, economic diplomacy related to activities, and how its participation in the following South-South forums addresses domestic challenges. And the committee further received a briefing by the department on the current political situation in Lesotho and Burundi and South Africa's role towards a peaceful resolution in the obtaining situations. And the committee further received expert analysis on developments around Brexit. And the committee further considered and adopted the committee's strategic plan 2015 to 2020. During this period, the committee further received a briefing by the department on South Africa's strategic economic diplomacy role in furtherance of both continental and regional integration, examining its role in the NEPAD Presidential Infrastructure Program. During this year, the committee closed by receiving a briefing by the South African Council on International Relations and the South African Association of Former Ambassadors and High Commissioners and Chief Representatives on their mandate and the work they have done so far since their launch, and further received a briefing by the Minister of International Relations and Cooperation on the Foreign Service Bill and South Africa's White Paper on South Africa's foreign policy. In 2017, the committee had planned to process and finalize the Foreign Service Bill. This had so far not been achieved due to the fact the planned study tour was approved later in the year and only one country instead of two were approved. This impacted on the committee's plan to have a comparison with a country with legislation and that which only relied on practice regarding management of foreign service. During this year, only one opportunity to conduct oversight presented itself in that the committee decided to do so while on study tour. The department has been slow in implementing some of the recommendations of the Auditor General, especially those that caused it to receive a negative audit outcome. As a result of this, the committee had to dedicate its session to deal with these matters. However, not all issues have been addressed.
The parliamentary oversight is such that the committee is unable to undertake regular oversight visits abroad. During this year, the committee focused on processing the Foreign Service Bill and received, and a number of stakeholders were engaged in different forums. And a stakeholders seminar was held in Pretoria in January, followed by a number of engagements with affected departments and other stakeholders which submitted written submissions. The committee planned and undertook a study tour to Canada to learn best practices in managing a huge Foreign Service footprint. It also conducted an oversight visit to South African Embassy in Ottawa, Canada, dealt with impact on South Africa of political developments in the region. In 2018, during this period, the committee focused on the completion of the Foreign Service Bill, which was subsequently adopted on 21 November 2018, and further conducted an oversight visit to Namibia, a country where there are unoccupied premises belonging to the government of South Africa, to find out what causes the department to have qualified opinions on issues of assets abroad. Thank you, sir.
Jobson, now I'll continue to page of the paper that the members have. It's now page 7 on the document that is distributed. So now, this is the focus area of the committee's work on its oversight over the activities of the department. So it's divided into the work of the committee relating to a particular program. So under program one, for the past 5 years, the issues there which the committee was dealing with or had to do oversight on.
What is the title of the
chapter 2 is called Committee's Focus Areas during the Chief Parliament. It's on page 7.
Okay.
So the committee was exercising oversight over the department and its entity, the African Renaissance Fund. And with regard to the department, the committee observed that the department was operating under a very volatile, uncertain, complex and ambiguous environment, which has been named VUCA in international relations recently. And also the fact that the budget of the department had been under constraint since the past 5 years. The overall budget of the department would increase, you know, year to year or decrease in certain years within these 5 years, but it was never in sync with the mandate of the department, which was growing year by year. The budget was also impacted upon by foreign exchange fluctuations. And also the committee actually made certain recommendations with regard to the fluctuations which were impacting on the budget of the department, which we'll come to later on in the presentation. The other pertinent issues under administration related to compliance with supply chain management, which proved to be an area of weakness within the department. And also the office of the chief financial officer was also implicated in some of the areas of concern, and the committee recommended an investigation into the allegations relating to the office of the chief financial officer. The other issue which was of concern has been with the ICT systems of the department, which the committee and the Auditor General's report raised concerns several times over the years, which relate to the Secretary of Information. The concern was with the Secretary of Information between missions and headquarters, as the ICT system was regarded to be obsolete and not up to date, and therefore exposing information to cyber attacks. Asset register was one of the areas which the committee had concern with on over the past 5 years. Asset register for both movable and immovable assets of the department. The heritage assets became a concern, and in one of the years within this past 5 years, it actually rendered the department to have to receive a qualified audit opinion. The issue with the asset register has been its completeness and accuracy, which has been a challenge. But with heritage assets, the issue was the value attached to such assets, which the department had to do and verify with the Office of the Auditor General. Now, the oversight trip to Namibia also highlighted another issue, another area of concern, to say there is a need for a relevant management and maintenance of state-owned land parcels and properties abroad. And it became clear that some of the properties were left unattended, not maintained, and the actual management of property is a capacity, I mean, it's an area where the department does not have adequate capacity, which fortunately now in the budget vote which passed this past week, it seems like the department has planned for it to actually capacitate that area of work, and also it has also planned for renovations of properties in Namibia, which is a good thing. In response to the committee's visit to Namibia, and also the recommendations that the report from the oversight in Namibia, the committee made. So now there are plans for renovations in properties in Namibia, The Hague, Brasilia, and Solomon. And then the committee, alongside its activities, when realizing that the department was actually having challenges with operational matters, the committee recommended that the position of the chief operations officer be established, which the department responded positively to. And there is a bit of improvement since that office has been established. Then, together with leases, unattended properties in the missions abroad, the committee came to realize that actually one of the cost drivers for the department was spending on leases, both at home and in the missions. So the committee recommended that the department would need to develop an acquisition and disposal strategy, which fortunately this year the department has reported. In fact, the audit committee reported to the committee in Pretoria that they have taken positive steps towards responding to that recommendation. The other issue under Program 1, which has been on the agenda of the committee, was for the department to contain expenditure on compensation of employees within the ceiling, which has been directed by National Treasurer. This has been a real concern. Then the committee further recommended that actually the department should look into rationalizing the locally recruited personnel establishments, which when we were in Pretoria for the oversight visit, a positive report came to say they have actually started abolishing some of the positions, and they have given early retirement packages to some of the locally recruited persons, which is a positive result as a result of, I mean, coming from a recommendation from the committee. Then the other thing, the other issue where the Auditor General had concerns and also the audit committee is with regard to skills, I mean, the capacity of people who are in the finance department of the department. They have been reported every year financial misstatements and also really mistakes here and there when the department submits its financial statements to National Treasury. So a skills audit was recommended in the finance department, and this is yet to happen, but it's a recommendation which both the committee and the Auditor General have been on it for the past 3 years at least, to say there should be an audit, a skills audit in the finance department. The Diplomatic Academy and other bodies created to assist the department with foreign policy analysis were engaged by the committee. This is, for example, SAQA, and also that Association of Former South African Ambassadors. These are the bodies which are created to assist the department with foreign policy analysis. So the committee also had engagements with such groupings for their views on the trajectory of South Africa's foreign policy. And also the committee actually insisted on placement of South African professionals in bodies to which the country is a member, so that quotas which are allocated to South Africa are filled by South Africans who qualify to be in those positions. So this has been the clarion call coming from the committee over the pair. Then with regard to foreign exchange problems, the committee recommended that there should be a discussion, a pointed discussion with the Reserve Bank and National Treasury. Because what the National Treasury, when the committee had engagement with National Treasury, said, National Treasury said there was nothing much as a department that they could do in terms of assisting the department to pushing itself in its activities abroad, which are impacted upon by foreign exchange fluctuations. It's only the Reserve Bank, because it is concerned, it is also involved in the budgeting process for the department, because what National Treasury said was that the Reserve Bank would put a rate which will be applicable for the next 3 years. They would budget for the department to say for the coming 3 years, 1 rand, we are budgeting in such a way that 12 rand will be equal to a dollar. But then 3 months down the line after that kind of projection, the rand will plummet and it will be 14 rand to a dollar. So what that means is that the department will have a shortfall. So that kind of a problem, the committee has been faced with, and it seems like there hasn't been any further development on that in terms of the meeting which is supposed to take place between the Reserve Bank and National Treasury to discuss this matter. So it's a matter which still continues to be a challenge to the work of the department. The other thing which the members spoke about was the migration to SAQA. And also in governance of African Resources Fund as such, and also the reinvesting of monies which are unused back into the bank account of the ARS. So these matters are still, some of them were addressed and some of them are not yet finalized. Then the other issue of concern has been the permanent headquarters for the Pan-African Parliament, which has been on the agenda of the committee for the rest of the term. So ever since the signing of the host agreement with the African Union, the department and also the Department of Public Works have not yet come to a workable solution towards honoring this international obligation. So the committee has now, in the when we were on oversight, recommended that the matter be escalated to cabinet level for a final determination. With regard to the Foreign Service Bill, the committee was able to deal with that bill, and it was adopted by the National Assembly on 21st November 2018. And also the committee saw the launching of SAPA in 2015 and the Association of Former Ambassadors. So in a nutshell, this is what transpired under Program 1. Under Program 2, honorable members, this is where the department runs its bilateral activities with different countries. And here, issues covered would relate to economic, political, and social relations with different countries. One can safely say the committee, the bulk of the committee work on this related to political developments in different countries because of hotspots of conflict which emerged during this period. And very few times the committee dealt with the actual structured bilateral agreements between these countries where South Africa is participating. So I am going to just jump to the highlights under this program to say the committee dealt with issues relating to BRICS, to IORA, to IFSA, FOCAC, and TIGAT, and also raised an issue with the Department of Trade and Industry to say they should, the Department and Trade and DTI should engage and deploy trade attaches in strategic countries for maximum benefit. And then with regard to the formations of the North, the committee discussed the EU, the US relations with South Africa, and the effect of Brexit. In Africa, the committee discussed integration to SADC and also the many political developments and conflicts in the sub-region, especially in SADC, and also in some areas within the continent, which were mentioned by the committee secretary in the program. And then in the Middle East, the focus was on Syria and Palestine. And also developments in the relations with China. And maybe in the African, in the rest of Africa, the AU, I should mention the signing and the ratification of the African Continental Free Trade Area, which South Africa deposited its instrument of ratification recently. And also, the committee also dealt with matters relating to the presidential infrastructure project. Then it was championed by President Zuma. with regard to elections, the committee dealt with a number of situations, a number of countries which held elections during the past 5 years, and discussions were held with the department and also with experts in terms of their views on the situation in those countries. Then the committee also dealt with the issues of Western Sahara on the standing position of solidarity with the people of Western Sahara, and the committee also discussed the implications of the admission of Morocco into the AU with regard to the issues affecting, I mean, self-determination for the people of Western Sahara. Then, the other thing which related to the African Renaissance Fund, honorable members, was the fact that it was seen as a tool of foreign policy, as a soft power, but the concern was that it had low disbursement rate. And it was like most of the projects which were approved were never actually, they ended up not being funded because of the processes within the ARF which took longer than the needs which it had arisen. Then with regard to international cooperation, which is the program 3, this is where the department executes the mandate in international organizations abroad. So we saw, the committee saw, witnessed the participation of South Africa in ushering in the SDGs, and the committee also presented its political view on the transition on international obligations assumed by the Republic with regard to the SDGs, and they were also discussed, debated in the House as a result of the input from the committee. And then currently South Africa is serving its third term in the UN Security Council as a non-permanent member, and the committee encouraged the department to campaign during, before South Africa was granted its seat. The committee also encouraged the department to campaign, and also later thanked Africa and the international community for demonstrating trust and belief in South Africa. With regard to the emerging divisions in the Western Alliance, which was discussed when the committee was in Pretoria, it became clear that there is a rise of anti-establishment movements and far-right parties in the EU, which is Italy, Germany, France, Sweden, Poland, and the United Kingdom. And with the uncertainty over Brexit, it really brought about new concerns in international relations, which the committee discussed, and also the fact that the event of President Donald Trump in the US, somehow there is a shift between the P3 in the Security Council, because in some of the issues the US is not agreeing with the EU, which is France and the UK on some of these issues. So there is that shift which is being witnessed lately on international relations. Then the committee had a meeting with civil society on the Israeli-Palestine conflict. The committee actually engaged the Jewish Board of Deputies and MP for Palestine, yes. So those two, the groupings came and addressed the committee on different sides of the conflict, but at least the committee afforded a platform for such a discussion to take place. then with regard to there is a treaty on prohibition of nuclear weapons, which South Africa in 2018 signed, and on the 25th of February this year, which is 3 days ago, South Africa deposited its instrument of ratification to that treaty. So it's a commendable development which has just happened 2 days ago. And then with regard to the participation of South Africa in the G20, South Africa, I mean, the committee has had briefings on that and engaged also stakeholders in terms of what benefits or what impact South Africa has in the G20 in championing the aspirations of South Africa, Africa and the Global South. There was also mention of South Africa hosting a World Food Program humanitarian response depot, and the committee supported such a move or a proposal which was made by the World Food Program to say South Africa should respond positively to such a request from the World Food Program. The other issue relating to this program related to treaty processes in Parliament. There was one activity which related to the treaty, which was the withdrawal of South Africa from the Rome Statute. The matter was subsequently withdrawn from Parliament, but the committee was going to be dealing with such a matter, and instead the committee had a briefing on the Diplomatic Immunities Act, which relates to immunity of visiting state, heads of state to South Africa. But the committee has been on record to say Parliament must have a central place for registering all treaty processes in Parliament, so that monitoring and of the implementation of such treaties would be easier for Parliament. With regard to Program 4, public diplomacy, it has been doing well, and it has actually undertaken what they call also outreach programs to different provinces. But with the committee was not able to undertake its own planned outreach programs to 7 provinces, because the outreach programs were only undertaken to Western Cape and Limpopo by the previous committee. So this committee in 2014, it had planned to continue with outreach programs to popularize Agenda 2063 and also to sensitize the public in terms of what foreign policy, how it impacts on their lives. But this was not possible because of the committee committee program itself. Then the committee had an oversight, a walkabout oversight at one of the guest houses which are managed by the department. The Johnny Makatini Diplomatic Guest House was inspected for compliance, and it was found to comply with the expected standards of hospitality services for visiting VIPs. The issue of intergovernmental coordination on international issues has been on the agenda of the committee for the past 5 years, and this relates to provinces and municipalities engaging internationally without coordination by the department. However, the committee has managed to address this issue in the Foreign Service Bill, and oversight over that will have to be strengthened by the committee and also the department itself. Then lastly, on that program, Chairperson, is the consular issues. To say there was at some point in the past 5 years, Rosa which is registration of South African support, but that program was withdrawn because it wasn't visa friendly. Now the department introduced something called Travel Smart Kit, which is the initiative which guides would-be travelers to say what things they should be mindful of when they go abroad, and also encouraging South Africans to register while in a resident embassy while visiting abroad. The challenge which the committee has been raising with regard to these approaches is that they are voluntary, and as such, people do not feel compelled to register. So the challenges only arise when there are problems, like, for example, the Nigeria issue, and also Mali and Mozambique, where problems arise, you find that the embassy was not even aware that such people were visiting areas of their accreditation.
Yeah, before you proceed to international transfers, I have received a note from Honourable Maina. Is it a note or bad? Let's bring a diplomatic concept here. He was saying that he is very sorry that he's requesting to go back to the Justice Committee. He just received an SMS while he was sitting down here. Members will remember that we gave an apology for the two of them, Honorable Bumban and himself, but the matters that they were dealing with yesterday and today, now is that they want to come back. I'm not sure if you will come back. I know whether you want to speak for yourself. So we should release him.
Okay.
And whilst on this matter of Travel Smart and Rosas, and I'm probably out of order with this one, for purposes of this report, but for purposes of information, it's important. The people who die abroad, I don't know what can we insist must happen by way of information. Yesterday I was assisting Honorable, no, I don't think I was assisting him that much, Honorable Masondo. They are relatives. A member of their relative died in Britain. They didn't know what to do. Then I connected them to the department. They gave me the name of Chris Chick. But all I'm saying, out of it as I am, is that generally, is that we don't know, we the South Africans, what should happen, should anything happen in the language of insurances, happen when we are abroad. And as with the, whether this Travel Smart in the package, I saw the package the other time that we moved from Rosa to Travel Smart, whether there's a part like that talk about death overseas of, in the case of death or something like that, must be just be clear. It's not a nice to have, but this is what you can do. Like with the first port of call, go to the embassy there, at least. Even if you didn't tell them, but at least this is what you can do if you are in that country. And no one will show with the members of parliament of a corner or ama adverts. So every South African, public or private travel, religious or whatever, but when it comes to death, there are other protocols that happen there. You are uncomfortable with this, I'm just saying.
No, not uncomfortable with that. I was just wondering, are you saying it must be included or are you just giving a general comment?
I'm just giving a
general comment.
Saying it is something that I don't know, I'm just saying it is something we must make the department to have not in this report, but in its pamphlets. You remember there was a pamphlet called ROSA.
Mm. That failed miserably. I wish we would put in those words there. But, but this if you've looked at that Travel Smart thing, it's got a lot of information in it.
Is this one? Is
It's got a lot of information. It's addressed.
No, I think also Department of Home Affairs will also assist in that when people are going to apply for their visas. No, I think that if people are having some challenges, or
deaf in particular.
Our people must. As you said, that you referred him to the embassy there. However, the Department of Home Affairs and International Relations, they must work in hand in glove, you know, on the issue of diplomacy. The public diplomacy department that Chris Chetty is doing, he must also work with the Department of Home Affairs. That is what I'm doing with him. I'm working with on when I'm doing my oversight work.
Mm.
I'm using a chit, Chris Chit. Mm. Thank you.
Now diverted. Let's get back to what we're doing.
Yeah, but just to check, who's in the service market? Maybe. Explaining the issue of the voluntary nature of these services. We have a problem with the ROSA. We said that we are frustrated because the government now has to chip in, to get in deeply when there is the issue of death abroad. So that's why I try to check if this thing that kid has got, are we sure that this voluntary part of it we're talking about, that it is problematic, is it accommodated? That our concern was the voluntary part. So now, is it saying that it will be involuntary this time around? In the smart card, because in the smart kit, because I will say it. That's for the interest sake.
No, I'm not responding. There are many other things, it's just that mean. I just thought this issue of death, it's a troublesome thing, and I realized twice that I'm ignorant about this thing. When there was this thing about Nigeria and also thing yesterday. Just people asking me first time, they imagine what must have been. And they tell me, but I don't know.
We'll have to do orientation with you.
Proceed, Sister Nell.
Thank you, Professor. With international transfers, the issues where the timely manner South Africa was paying its dues, that was commended by members over time. The issue, however, was the fact that after the resolution by the AU that that AU should be self-sufficient, new scale of assessment was agreed upon, and up to now, the Department and National Treasury have not found one another on paying at the new asset scale. So it's an issue which is still under discussion. The other thing under international transfers was the filling of quotas for employment of South Africans, which the committee expressed its view, and slowly that is happening. Then the other issue which came up was the paying for portfolios of other departments in international organizations. You'll find that the department is paying out of its budget for other departments like defense. They are paying for annual fees for conventions dealing with maybe nuclear weapons or prohibition of this or that, which are defense related, but they are paid under the budget of the department. So now, Chairperson, the legacy report the template and the way the issues have, they necessarily do not flow. Now I'm on chapter 3, which is key areas for future work. And after that, you will find that now we'll be dealing with highlights, you know, what the committee achieved over these past 5 years. But this is the format which this template has given, so we'll continue with that. Then these key areas for future work, Chairperson, it's what the committee, it's a message from the committee to say the future, the incoming committee, look at this area. And over and above the work that you're going to design for yourself, but also take into consideration these matters. Some of these matters are matters which the committee was not able to finalize. Some are ongoing concerns. Some are developing concerns. The first two chapters then are just, you know, what will happen. It will be an orientation for members. It will be they will discuss the consent paper on the mandate of the department, so that they know what their oversight strategy is going to be addressing. So those two are not controversial. Then the first issue for me, for the committee, will be to address the parliamentary oversight model and its impact on the mandate of the committee. I think this has been said by the committee over and over again. So it's something that the committee would like the next committee to deal with. And then the other area, of course, the strategic plan, that one is a given, it will happen. But then the other issue will be the focused oversight over the financial and non-financial activities of the ERF. This matter is a continuing matter for the committee, because the committee has come up with, picked up some grey areas in terms of these activities of the ERF, and the Auditor General has also come up with some red flags in terms of the financial activities of the ERF. Then the committee will be asked also to strengthen oversight on the low disbursement rate to needy projects by the ERF. This is because the committee will be reminded that actually there's a report which has been, there's a study or a research report which has been done by National Treasury and DECO, which is addressing this issue, together with, I think, intelligence. They are addressing this issue, so that report has not been completed as yet. So perhaps the incoming committee will be able to deal with it. Then the issue of PAP, Permanent Headquarters for Pan African Parliament, that's an issue which the incoming committee is a continuing issue. It has continued from 4th Parliament to 5th Parliament, it's going to the 6th Parliament. From there, Chairperson, the SAPA issue, also the implementation there of migration from ARF to SAPA is a continuing issue. Since the 4th Parliament, 5th Parliament, and it's going into the 6th Parliament. Now, with the event of the existence now of the enactment of Foreign Service Bill, it means the incoming committee will have to have an oversight strategy on its implementation to make sure that at least that piece of legislation is implemented in accordance to its clauses, as the committee worked on it for a very long time. Then the activities of South African missions abroad, that will be another area which at least this committee started oversight over activities of the missions. It is hoped that even the incoming committee will be able to continue with that. That one I think is deleted. And we can delete the next one.
Which one? You can see.
That one that we're coming to, that one is the one which is it's in the budget vote, so it's not for this committee.
Posting officials.
Yeah, the one enhanced oversight, posting of officials. Yeah. Then there will be also proposal for oversight whether South African missions abroad are addressing domestic challenges through economic development and the current investment drive being championed by the president, and also in the now that there is the African Continental Free Trade Area, it will be important that our missions actually adapt to this new approach in terms of economic diplomacy, which now is the one which is taking center stage. So they need to revise their strategies and actually focus on economic diplomacy more. And then the integration agenda of SADC, that is an ongoing concern which is still continuing. But the incoming committee ought to actually strengthen oversight over that activity. Then economic diplomacy, as we have already highlighted, it's just that here aligning of that economic diplomacy as such to the investment drive in other parts of the world becomes important, and the only link is the department. So the committee will need to have an oversight strategy that will respond to that. The issue of members, the reposting of trade data chairs, I think it was raised by the committee several times. This is one area which the incoming committee will have to follow up on. Then the other issue is the Balancing Act in terms of missions abroad, to say at the moment political relations are at the higher level and economic relations are at the secondary level. So the stakeholders which came to address the committee have been saying there must be a Balancing Act where the two economic relations now should be at par with political, so that the missions are able to get you know food on the table, to put food on the table for the people of South Africa. They should not concentrate only on political relations, but they should hand in hand concentrate also on economic diplomacy as such. Then, with investment drive, which has been championed by President Ramaphosa, there is a need for closer collaboration between government and business in furtherance of economic diplomacy drive. So this, the committee can look into in terms of how business can be involved in furtherance of South Africa's foreign policy outside, whether it's through DTI, with the help of missions abroad, then that kind of an oversight will be needed, and discussion will be needed to be undertaken by the incoming committee. And also the implementation and monitoring of activities on bilateral commissions of cooperation with different countries. This is where I was saying the committee was not able to get into, I think it only did two, it was not able to get into the many bilateral commissions agreements that South Africa has with different countries in order to assess whether actually there is implementation of whatever resolutions we have been taking, or implementation of those agreements with South Africa. So the committee will need to look into that. Then there's an issue which was raised sharply in the committee, especially last week, and over time, to say there must be linking some linkages between peace building and stability to commercial diploma in the national interest of the Republic. So this is one area where the incoming committee will need to take the baton and follow up that wherever South Africa is involved in conflict resolution, there must be some commercial diplomacy in the national interest that goes on hand in hand with that. And the importance also of engagement with counterpart parliamentary committees, for example, in the BRICS, in the EU, SADC, AU, Asia and Latin America, it will be important for the incoming committee to actually visit or engage with parliamentary committees in those forums where South Africa is participating, so that they can be able to monitor whatever resolutions they are taken by the countries on behalf of their citizens. Then, now that South Africa is serving its third term in the UN Security Council, it will be important for the committee to continue monitoring the activities of South Africa and its priorities in the UN Security Council. Then the DRC, elections happened during the term of this committee, but then the transition is something which the incoming committee will have to follow on and also strengthen it and support a peaceful transition, which is the position of South Africa on any matter of conflict. So they will need to also still follow up on the DRC processes. One area which was raised sharply recently was the issue of parallel vote tabulation. That it seems to be an emerging trend in the continent. That and it actually poses a challenge to electoral processes, because elections observer missions have their separate vote tabulation, and which will more or less contradict what the IEC similar organization in that country would be saying. A similar thing is happening with Nigeria yesterday. There was this kind of concern, which the other group, I mean, those who were tabulating say the elections are not what the IEC of Nigeria is announcing. Then there will be need for oversight over South Africa's participation in the AU, the UN and SADC, especially with regard to conflict areas. This has not been possible for this committee because of the oversight model. There has not been any oversight over South Africa's participation in this organization. So the incoming committee could try and pursue that kind of oversight. And then the issue of solidarity support for Western Sahara towards self-determination and independence from Morocco is an ongoing issue with this committee, which will continue into the next committee so that they also look into it and follow it up. The other one is with the two-state solution in the Israeli-Palestine conflict. It's an issue which the committee has dealt with. It's not finalized. Then it's in ongoing conflict, so the next committee will find itself having to deal with that also. The U.S. economic embargo on Cuba and the return of Guantanamo Bay is the continuing issue which the committee dealt with and which will migrate also to the incoming committee. Now, when we come to administrative matters, it will be the issue of the acquisition model and also how the department is going to, is planning to maintain property support. And then also disposal of vacant state-owned land and properties abroad. Remembering that the committee has a new definition in the Act with regard to disposal. That disposal would mean, would not necessarily mean discarding of properties as such only, but can be donation, can be renting out, it can be commercializing the premises. So any form of disposal is what the committee is suggesting that the next committee should follow up on and see that the department is actually taking taking steps on that. But what is positive is that in the budget vote, the current one, the department has planned to actually utilize land in Senegal, for example, because they've had land, empty land, standing there for years. Now they're going to be building on that land, and also in land in France. There are some activities which are going to be happening, which is a positive response to the recommendations of the committee. Implementation of international agreements under the purview of the department. This the committee has only done with regard to assessing, maybe processing agreements for ratification, but the committee will need to actually follow up on whether international agreements are being implemented, the ones that are under the purview of the department, so that recommendations can be made by the political view can be expressed by the committee on such matters. And then the implementation of a turnaround strategy to address the recurring operational challenges in the department. That one is important because what the department informed the committee 2 weeks ago is that they have developed a turnaround strategy to address these operational challenges. So it will be for the next committee to actually follow up on that and see whether there is actual steps, positive steps and results coming out of that turnaround strategy. The other issue will be the upgrading of the ICT system, which has been on the agenda, and also an up-to-date asset register. Supply chain management, and also compliance with, the turnaround plan, which the department says it has on non-compliance with supply chain management, which are the main issues which has caused the department to acquire a qualified auditor team. And so these areas, the new committee will have to follow up on. Then there will be a need to continue the outreach programs in the other 7 provinces, which the committee could not do. And this incoming committee, hopefully, it will see a need to continue with such a program, because it brings people closer to the committee, and also the committee is able to actually unpack and demystify foreign policy so that people relate with the activities of South Africa internationally. The collaboration with non-governmental stakeholders is a very important area which the committee innovatively came up with. So hopefully the incoming committee will continue along those lines to engage civil society, engage think tanks on issues of international relations for a wider view, an independent view on South Africa's foreign policy. Now, training of members, which I think the chairperson was talking about, will be prioritized also. Peacekeeping is what they are doing now. Development diplomacy is one area, economic diplomacy, parliamentary, public, environmental. So, and any other kind of training that members will require when they arrive. And then also examination of all policies for the administration of foreign policy. The consular assistance policy, that's what members were discussing a few minutes ago. That policy exists, and the department seems to be having issues with the public demanding money for as consular assistance. When people experience problems outside the country, the expectation is that DECO is going to pay for certain things, but the consular assistance policy is only about consular assistance, which is human to human, no money is involved. So this is an area where the committee will have to look into and see how best South Africans can be assisted. And also the annual head of mission conference. This one, I think the incoming committee will have to really address it with the POs of parliament to say there is a need that once a year the committee attends this conference in Pretoria. It's the only area, I mean the only forum where you will find all heads of mission of South Africa in one place where the committee can be able to engage with them without necessarily having to travel to different areas where these people are, where this head of mission are serving. Then the other area is international conferences hosted by South Africa, which are of an international relations nature. Honestly, the committee should be able to attend such conferences in South Africa. And then, of course, oversight visits to South African missions abroad. The one which is urgent, one such oversight will be to the UN Security Council, where while South Africa is still serving for the next 2 years. And also an investigative oversight visit to Palestine and Western Sahara. This is where they can better understand the situation and be able to advise or even give a political view, having seen the situation in those countries. And then SADC, a study tour also relating to SADC, where they can learn best practices as to how do you oversee an agency of that nature, which will be giving development assistance. Then honourable members, highlights, the legacy report, the only challenge with it is that information is repeated. Highlights, members already know that it's the Foreign Service Chair, the engaging of opposing sides on issues, the oversight to Namibia, study tour to Canada, the COO's office, and the disposal model, and also the consequence management that the department needs to, actually the department is addressing that now, and there is a comprehensive investigation being carried by an independent investigator into offences, into all the allegations of misconduct in the department. Then number four is on key challenges emerging. These challenges members already are already aware is the parliamentary oversight model, which has been a problem, and also the non-participation into these conferences, which we refer to, and also the diplomacy, economic diplomacy devised by missions, which the department, I mean the committee is not involved there, and also the designation of members to lead. It's an area which maybe the incoming committee can look into, that maybe members, certain members should be assigned certain subject matters in the areas that the committee deals with, so that the members can specialize and have a deep understanding around issues where they can lead on those issues. And the other thing is that when deploying members to different forums by the PGIR, consideration should be taken to include at least one member of this committee to be involved in the forum. That's one area. Then The rest, I think, are the same.
Okay, I'm just missing the point where you said the specialist, did you refer to members of the committee being assigned specialist topics?
It says, yes.
Where is that?
Bullet
number. Page 16, you're on.
Page 16, yes, honorable member. It's bullet number 1, 2, 3, 4. Due to technical nature.
I got it.
You found it.
Yeah, I have to focus on it.
And then, the other issue was the membership of the committee. It changed a number of times, and that affected continuity. And also, the adoption of minutes was not so regular, and that affected opportunities for follow-up action. And then at times cancellation of meetings and other issues had having to be moved around in the program. And also it was not easy also to adhere to the annual business plan due to the nature of the mandate of the committee. Because
by membership of the committee, you say it changed the number of times.
Well, we're going to come back to that, don't
yes.
you think? Because I've also noted comments for that.
Many are still here. Proceed now.
Okay. It's an issue that the members can take to. So, then I think with those challenges emerging, now there are issues which the committee through the chairperson can take to the National Assembly to say the parliamentary oversight model actually posed challenges for the mandate of the committee in terms of oversight of this committee. The oversight area is on the implementation of South Africa's foreign policy, and the execution of that policy is largely beyond the borders, and therefore what it means is that the committee ought to have a corresponding oversight beyond the borders of South Africa. And then the engines, the people who are actually implementing the policy, are the missions themselves. So the missions are beyond the borders, and the oversight model gave limited space for such engagements which are beyond the borders. Then, actually, this committee has not had a similar kind of treatment or advantage afforded to other committees. Other committees, for the past 5 years, they were afforded 4 oversight visits per year. So this committee has only done 1 dedicated oversight per 5 years. So there is that disparity. And also, there are issues which are happening in the execution of South Africa's foreign policy, which this committee has no, hands-on information on. So that's one area which the committee can take to Parliament. And then actually propose that it will serve the committee well if it would be allowed 2 external oversight visits. That would, more or less cover, allow the committee to actually execute its mandate. And then the other issue is that members serving in this committee should be considered when making deployments to international parliamentary forums. This is an area for PGIR, but members of this committee, the chairperson, can suggest, can discuss, can propose to the POs on this matter, because it's important for continuity, also for input into the agenda of the committee and also in those forums. And then the fact that reports from this parliamentary forum should be shared with relevant committees in parliament to enable tabling and debate in the House. This is important because reports which come from this forum do not serve in committees. And committees are the only organs which can report in the House. So it's important to have that kind of linkage. Then the issue of conferment with the committee on matters of international affairs is necessary. Actually, it's in the rules. It's provided for in the rules, in the NA rules, but it hardly ever happens. And some of the challenges have been created by the fact that the other committees were not aware of what foreign policy positions of South Africa would be on a certain issue that we will be discussing. So it would be helpful to actually implement this rule which talks to confirm with this committee. Then the other matter would be international conferences which take place in South Africa. To say this committee should be allowed to attend, because you know they will be cost effective, and also the committee will be able to gather information and actually assess South Africa in action to see how it participates and what challenges there are there, and also try to understand the department better when it comes to address the committee on these matters. And the issue of the annual heads of mission conferences, which is held in Pretoria. This one, honestly, that is the only forum where the committee can find all South African ambassadors in one place, so that they're able to engage them in their work, because the oversight model will not allow the committee to go to each and every embassy. Even the committee itself will not want to do that, but at least when you have them in one place, it will be better when the whole committee is allowed to go and engage in such a gathering, which happens annually, and the costs are reduced. Then the recommendations, Chairperson, I will leave for members, but just to say, the committee would need to be flexible in its program, in its planning of the work, because of the nature of its mandate, which is overseeing South Africa's foreign policy, because issues emerge from time to time, and if you have a rigid program, you'll run into a problem where you will not be able to achieve or to actually adhere to the program as it started. But political recommendations I will leave to members, Chairperson, so that members are able to make recommendations on this report. I think Lobabalo will take over to highlight the other areas which appear on this report, which relate to statistics. Thank you, Chair.
Under on entity.
Key statistics is on page 19.
But just go back to 17 with all that deleted now.
Where you're talking about entities.
No, this is part of it, not deleted. It's just that it refers to the ARF.
No, I'm saying the introduction.
Oh,
on page 17, we have introduction.
Yes. Oh, that one.
There, right. So, department of, you got da 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 da.
Oh,
what is
okay.
That?
We it was on the template, we left it at that.
As it's going to be.
It only says
edited.
If there was a new department created, members will be reminded that during the term, some of the departments were put together. Some way separated. So if something like that happened to the department that you're overseeing, we must report on that, but there was nothing like that. So we left it as such.
So you're going to put the word nil or something.
Yes,
like
yes. And yeah. N-A, non-applicable.
Right.
Mm.
Let's move on.
Thank you, Chair. During the fifth Parliament, Chair, starting with 2014, the committee had 18 meetings. In 2015, 20, 2016, 25 meetings.
Page
19, Chair.
Please, that is it. Okay, then we can read it right now.
Yes, Chair. In 2016, Chair, the committee had held 25 meetings. In 2017, 24. In 2018, 27. In total, Chair, the committee held 114 meetings, excluding the one that the committee held last week, Chair. Legislation process during the fifth Parliament is one. The Foreign Service Bill, oversight, trips undertaken, it's four, two in 2015, one in 2017, and one in 2018. Study tours undertaken, it's one in 2017. International agreements processed, it's one in 2018. There were no statutory appointments made, no interventions considered, and only one petition was considered in 2014. The last part, Chair, of my input, Chair, would be the The last part, Chair, of my input, Chair, will be right at the end of the legacy report, which deals with the attendance of members, Chair, since 2014. So there's an attachment which was circulated by UNOMACROSS, which reflects the attendance of members since they joined the committee.
You meant that you are done with the presentation?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I was looking at the challenges emerging during the processing of legislation. Okay. Right. Members, there you are. Yo. Thank you very much for an elaborate and detailed presentation of the legacy report. Obviously, there is room for improvement. Like I predicted, that consideration is by not adoption, so that there is room for members. Now, the question is, I think the approach should be that, speaking for myself, of course, was that if this information is emailed to me, there are things I think I can better improve in my office with the staff. I'm old school, for instance, isn't it? The committee for me should be in capital letters, or names of certain events, they must be written in capital letters to show that this is what it should be. Certain formulations, I can draw your attention to some of them. So, two levels of approach. I mean, people could make their own observations here about that and that page. shuttled, it should be shuttled back to you. Then you work on another one, then you give it to us on Monday or Tuesday, then we look at it next week, Wednesday, and then perhaps we could have a final product there. On Okalia,
yeah.
How did you do it last time?
Yeah.
How did you do it in other communities?
Yeah, that usually was the pattern that we went through it, and then we could make our input and send it back, and then you get a final version for adoption, which is what you are suggesting.
Yeah,
but I do have one or two questions, and I wanted to know if I could put those for as to whether we put it. The budget for me has not been the issue of the budget allocated to this committee for me has not been addressed sufficiently. We are saying that our oversight work is hampered because of the accountability model, but it's also hampered because of a lack of budget, and we should be looking at the fact that this committee is unique in that its oversight focus is not within the country, but it's at the mission. And therefore, one of the recommendations should be that we ask for an improved budget allocation in the next parliament, that this committee, which is the next important committee after the presidency, that in terms of its precedence and importance, it should be given more money. Then I'd also want to ask, there was a piece of legislation that was outstanding. Was that the SACPA bill? Right. So it's not reflected here as a matter that is outstanding. It never came to this committee for whatever reasons in cabinet, but I think it should be noted. We talk about the transition from year to day, and I think a one-liner to say that legislation around this issue is still pending, and it's something that in the next committee we should look at. And then just quickly, on page 13, where there's some recommendations made, for example, I will in my report back or my feedback, I will say to you what my thoughts are, because we're talking about, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 points that relate to economic diplomacy, which I think could just be shortened. And then on page 16, I just want to bring it to the attention of you, Chair, and the committee. Bullet point 4, the need for designation of members to lead a subject matter. That is a party matter. I don't think the committee should be involving itself in that. Membership of the committee has changed a number of times, affecting continuity. I think that should be deleted. Again, it's a party matter. Midway through the term, the party decides, okay, I'm taking Kalyana out and I'm putting her somewhere else. I don't think that should be in the minutes. And then this whole issue, Chair, I just want to ask you, our attendance at international conferences that are held here, we're putting it that in the report that we must be considered for it. We're asking the presiding officers to send us there. But the question of courtesy, I think, is a very important question.
Courtesy.
Is it an invitation by courtesy of DIRCO? That is the ministry. It is their event. Why would Parliament say you must go there? Is it not about them giving us an invitation first, and then Parliament saying, okay, here's the budget? I don't know. It's just something that I feel that we can't impose ourselves on a department function. We have oversight of the department, but we don't have oversight on their events. If they are organizing a head of mission thing, and they extend an invitation to us, then Parliament must say, or you as a chairperson, or the chairperson must say, Durco has issued this invitation to us, will you allow a delegation of the portfolio committee to attend? It just seems to be a very touchy thing, and I know, I think you were the only one that was invited to attend the head of mission.
No, it's all of us, but Honorable allowed me.
Yes. So again, and there's been a convention in the past. Let's say there's a conference happening at the UN, where the ministry will also invite two members of parliament as part of their delegation. I know because I've attended when I was in the health portfolio, that the ministry invites you and they pay all the expenses. Just some thoughts that, you know. And then there's something in the report that doesn't sit well with me. It reflects poorly on the secretariat, and I think that's not the right thing, because the secretariat has been very, very good in what they have done. So let's look at page 24, challenges emerging. So there's been a standard response for all the challenges emerging. It repeated on many pages. Technical, operational challenges. Content-related challenges. I don't think we should be putting that in, because if it's technical and operational challenges, it reflects poorly on the secretariat, which to my mind is not right, because at all times our trips were well coordinated and planned. And then if it's content-related challenges, then at least to Danayo and David, which I think they've also done. They've been excellent support. So and my recommendation is that we've got to take that up. Anyway, those are a few brief comments, not questions, they're just comments, and then we can shine up the report. But thank you very much. It's been a very, very in-depth report.
Honourable Kenya, and followed by Honourable Bergman.
Thank you, Chairperson. All right. And thank you to our presenters of this report.
Kenya Bergman. Not a name. Also not a name. Not like Angela Bergman or Kenya Bergman. The order. Utalawe. You are not Kenya Bergman.
Also
Lande.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah. Thank you for the presentation, you present us. I think my issue will be on page 8 first, which we are talking about the recommendations.
Imagine in our department, let's improve our day. We are now improving the support. All of you are not there. You've just come in, the PLO, unfortunately, when we have to be had by you for the KG. I don't know, but something like you is an idea. Well, pick them up as we open. want to say what I read on it, but thank you, Honourable Kenyon. Sorry for the interjection.
On page 8, when we are talking about this recommendation about escalation of the PEP to cabinet level for a designation, that is page 8, the last sentence of the PEP paragraph, I think so. The committee has since recommended that the matter be escalated to cabinet level for a final determination. I don't know whether we as the committee, as much as we failed to discuss the advancement of socio-economic development program towards Agenda 2063, looking at the aspiration 6 that talks to women and youth, can't we say, because we didn't, as we said, that we failed in some other instances due to financial constraints, as Honorable Kalyan has just alluded on. Now, if we say Africa, we want commitment of Africa, we want in 2063. Now I'm thinking about the youth and women. Talking about the youth, can't we say take it as an addition maybe to the paragraph that talks to that? If we are saying a youth decade on youth development to 2008 to 2018 to implement related programs to the youth, so that committee can take it further on the development of Pan-African Parliament, can take that further, because there was a youth, I think the South Africa did ratify the youth charter, the Pan-African Youth Charter, but maybe the youth now to implement, for those social to implement those programs on that youth charter, which was ratified by South Africa in I'm not quite sure now of the year, but I remember there was a charter for the Pan-African. Secondly, on and about women, I'm thinking about power also for the aspiration of that unleashing that potential of women. Also, maybe to say also to the power to the sentence so as to unleash the potential of women. It's just my recommendation that we didn't get in there during our trip, but it's just my taking when I'm talking about Agenda 2063 aspiration in Africa. On page 13, lastly, on the last bullet, with the strengthening of oversight of solidarity support for Western Sahara towards self-determination and independence from Morocco. Can't also add something that says, and the pursuit of Morocco by the AU to implement the UN resolution on Western Sahara. Or just to add that sentence to strengthen the oversight solidarity of support for Western Sahara. As we say that we have, we have frustrated about the implication of association of Morocco to the AU and the process of self-determination for the Sahara people not catered for. If you can just add that, that part of the question. And page 16, lastly. Oh, on page 16, I'm just also having a problem about this bullet 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We are just reporting here that South African companies doing business in Africa are increasingly facing legal and financial discrimination in the countries they operate from. Now, I just want to check what recommendation can you put there? Just to say South African companies doing business in Africa are increasingly facing legal and financial discrimination in the countries they operate from. But as the committee, what is our take therefore? What do we say when we are recommending? Because now, to me, if we say just put that sentence and then do nothing about it, yeah, it means that we are just passing a ball to something that we don't understand what can be done. If we can just say, but I'm not quite sure how to put it.
how to put it, how do we take that that bullet forward to the recommendation? Because to me, it means that there must be a recommendation for this one, especially that we're talking about South African companies who are doing business on that side and are facing those legal and financial discrimination in those countries. I think it's a question, but I'm not quite sure how to put it. But it is my concern because it must have a recommendation on this issue. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Tenney. Honourable Dartman.
Chair, thanks very much. If you don't mind, I'm just going to be cheeky enough just to steal a little on the first page. Just there's something that grammatically, I think, just could maybe be improved, and that's on the second last line, where it says that the oversight's impact was the oversight became a pilot oversight project that could assist, I would insert the word, to solve similar challenges, and then take out regarding the, so it would read, assist to solve similar challenges South African government's land parcels and properties in other parts of the world posed. It's just there's a lot of wording there that they conflate the what we're trying to say. Then on page two, I understand that it's a legacy report, but I need to find a diplomatic way in which we could really say that the committee's overall oversight assessment of the department was not that it was excellent and constant over the past 5 years. And I think we can agree from all sides that you know, we find a diplomatic way to say that, I would really hate to use the word excellent, to be honest with you. I think we're being too generous there. But I wouldn't want to be negative. So I would say that its overall political and diplomatic performance says, maybe we could say just leave it as consistent and take out excellent and constant. You know, as I say, I'd be very uncomfortable to think that any of us on in this side felt that Turco was excellent in their approach, and that would be taking into account all the times they've appeared here, questions asked from all sides of the table. Then, on the third paragraph of page two, the committee results engage a number of stakeholders. Those vary between individual experts, think tanks, institutions of higher learning, etc., etc., etc. I found us to still be a little exclusive. And I think our lesson to the sixth term of parliament would be to be more inclusive. So let's say we're dealing with the Western Sahara issue. You'd invite Morocco and Western Sahara on two different days, or if you're dealing with the Palestine and Israeli issue, you'd invite Israel and Palestine. You know, we would hear all sides of the conflict. I just feel that for us to, well, maybe we can leave it there, but then just when it comes to the points of inclusion for 2016, for the sixth term of Parliament. So if we look at page 12 and we look at the key areas for future work, the last bullet point on page 13 says that we'll strengthen oversight and the solidarity support for Western Sahara. I don't think we should be biased on this. I don't think we should say solidarity support at this stage. I think what we should say is strengthen oversight, strengthen oversight in Western Sahara, in the Western Sahara, Morocco, and case. And it would be, you know, it was captured well before there, where it said we must undertake an oversight trip to Western Sahara and to Palestine, that we would undertake a trip to Western Sahara, Morocco, and we'd undertake a trip to Palestine, Israel, that we don't display a bias at this stage. We still display a credible, we still want to be mediators, or we still would like to be seen as possible key players in both issues. I mean, it's just interesting to note, if anyone reads the UNDP report in 2017, the life expectancy in Palestine is 76 years old, while the life expectancy in South Africa is 63 years old. So it's almost that Palestine should be worried more about South Africans than South Africans worried about Palestine. And the same, if you look at the UNDP reports, if we look at the people that we side with, we might actually find ourselves, because the UN is an independent, in fact, it would be pro a lot of the areas that we're talking about, but these are factual statistics. And we might find ourselves on the wrong side of those, you know, I always say we find ourselves on the right side of wrong decisions. If you look at that report, we might just find ourselves on the wrong side. So I would suggest we take out the bias nuances. And that last one would really go well to say that we strengthen our oversight by investigating the Western Sahara, Morocco, Palestine, Israel, Russia and Ukraine is something that we're going to have to look at. There's uncomfortable ones, China and Tibet and so on. You know, these are the, if we really want to be consistent, as we say in the report, these are the kind of conflicts that we're going to have to oversight. On page 14, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, the 10th bullet point, continued collaboration with the non-governmental stakeholders with interest in foreign policy issues. Again, I would ask that we just say continued balanced collaboration, so that again, you know, if you're hearing the one side, it would be interesting for this committee to hear the other side and not be scared to engage. The second last point is to consider an investigative oversight to understand the situation better. And this is where, again, I said in Palestine and Western Sahara, it's Palestine, Israel, Western Sahara, Morocco. But why limited to that? Domestically, we should be looking at Zimbabwe. Domestically, we should be looking at the DRC after their recent elections. I think for the 6th Parliament, we should challenge them to engage domestic issues first. Domestic of the continent, that we also, because that's probably a cheaper one to achieve and a quicker one to achieve, that we oversight areas such as the DRC or Sudan or Zimbabwe and areas like that. So I don't know, if maybe that should be a different bullet point, because it's counter achieving what you want to achieve in the second last bullet point. So maybe make it an extra bullet point. And then finally, on page 16, I think one of the valuable inputs that we missed, although we were always briefed on the UN, I think one of the important points that we missed was how our ambassadors at the UN have voted, or the stances that they've taken at the UN. And I think it would be great for the 6th Parliament to monitor our performance in the Security Council, monitor performance in the Human Rights Council. And I think the best way of doing that is to be briefed on a regular basis on how we voted or how we, the positions we took in these UN forums. Thanks, Jim. I do echo my colleague.
Come in.
My colleague has just been made the Shadow Minister for this portfolio. I do echo her sentiments that this is a great report, that putting this all together was, you know, I think it reflected pretty much very close to what was actually, what we have done and what we've achieved. So I thank the staff again.
Honourable Kalyan is a Mokgalapa.
Yeah, she's the new Mokgalapa. Maybe she'll be the mayor of the Tupeni City.
I just for information. When the party asked me what portfolio I want, I had requested to be the deputy because of the Pan African work. But now it's 20 days to go, so right. I'm just filling in for Mokgalapa.
Acting.
Asking him whether he will give my family in Mamelodi reduced rate. I'm giving the state of the city next time.
Can we just have that minute of what you just said? We're going to take that to the ethics committee quickly.
No, but I think you have landed there. Yeah. Honorable Maput.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you very much. And thank you to the people who have put this report together, especially to our contact advisor, Shadow Minister of International Relations from the ANC, Mr. Masango.
We'll congratulate
and congratulate
we'll meet in the federal.
Yeah, I think this is an excellent report. What the passion that I have, especially on the public diplomacy, on page 11, you know, program 4, public diplomacy was active. Yes, I'm of the view that the public diplomacy of the international relation is very sophisticated, too sophisticated. It doesn't really speak to the populace of South Africa. You know, you find it wanting, because if really with the public diplomacy, you also have to go to, if you don't have a DSTV, you have to go to Ubuntu, the Ubuntu radio. I really don't know how can they really bring it to the population of South Africa, in order that they can be able to enjoy and understand the international arena. You know, you can see even the public diplomacy was active. That's a full stop. It doesn't really address the ordinary South African population. I think that is one thing, that they must do something with it, Chair. I think I've been talking a lot about this public diplomacy. You know, we are so happy that we are having the young labels who are interested on the issues of international relations. And really, it gives me pride, and even the woman of Mayor Dineo Mosala. However, international relations, it is there and there. You call it inverted, so that is that. So public diplomacy, it's a problem. I really don't know what can we recommend. What can we about our recommendation? I love the chairperson, and that is my thesis. I told you about the public diplomacy. And also, we wrote, you know, there are some key areas for future work. Why sometimes we don't achieve what we want to achieve is because we just give blanket checks. On the issue of the lifting the US economic embargo on Cuba on return of Guantanamo Bay, we've been talking about this. Can we really try to give people time frames? You know, blank checks sometimes, yes, we are doing recommendations. 5 years before, Chairperson, we've been talking about this bully US. It's been bullying and it's been bullying, and we are really keeping quiet. Because how are we influencing to ensure this US, this green tendency, they really, they become calm, especially on this issue of Cuba. I really don't know, am I wrong? Can we say that no blank checks, time frames on the key areas of future work? Blank checks. I don't know. As a teacher, you really wanted that people must teacher, as you were the principal, next week, 8 o'clock, you must bring your work in this office. So it's a lot of blank checks. Let's give the time frame whereby we can be able to measure ourselves and even to measure or to evaluate if you know this committee. I think it's a lot of blank checks. I thank you, bye.
I in this report I don't see something that talks to Indian Ocean.
Something that
our history. It is there some
Can I come in?
Yeah.
See this report is for the next parliament and for the next committee. We must guard against being prescriptive for them. If we're going to give a time frame and that committee decides no, when the committee sits with the strategic plan for 2019 to whatever the 5 years is, it may decide that its priorities are different. So I don't think that we should be too prescriptive in saying that. But for example, when it comes like to the CFO, what we can say is that by the time of the next end of the next financial year, this matter should have been resolved, talking about the disciplinary and the suspension and the appointment of a new person. For me, that's how I think I would like to approach it, that we're leaving a recommendation for the new committee, but they will decide on how to go forward. We're going to say what we did. We're telling them what we did. We're telling them what our successes are. So that's how I look at it. So while I appreciate what you're saying in terms of the blank check approach, we can't make decisions for the next committee. We're saying we're highlighting this, and maybe by the end of the next financial year, we're hoping that certain matters will be resolved.
It's very useful. Now we're running short of the three other members.
Yeah, we can't adopt anything.
No,
sorry,
our
recommendations, who are we sending it to?
When they are captured here, I'm addressing you.
Yes, sorry.
When the recommendations that are captured here, this report will be given to the chair and the committee of the new committee, the committee of the sixth parliament. I'm looking for that. And then one of the things is that Moses Dineo must, if she's still in a content advice, will present it to them. They will look at it, they will look at the focus areas and the challenges that have not been addressed, etc., as part of their orientation. But also it goes to the chair of committees, whoever will be a frolic after the elections, it goes to that office, because that office must ask the question, did every committee compile a legacy report? Did every committee receive the legacy report? And what are they going to do about things that continue to be challenged? Things like that, yeah. Hey, for me, I don't know where to start my comments and my input. On the issue that the Honorable Raputo was raising, I thought it just needs a little bit of refinement about diplomacy, where she was saying public diplomacy is a problem. And I don't think she was meaning that it is actually a problem, because in the earlier input, she was saying that it is not reaching the people, etc., etc. So the problem in this case is not that public diplomacy is not doing well, but it is elitist. Can we say that to Munyela? So we're saying, to the extent that it goes to the newspaper, it goes to the TV, it goes to Ubuntu Radio, but it doesn't talk to an ordinary African-speaking colored fellow in Stellenbosch winery and farms, etc., etc. Doesn't speak to Umxhosa, the Eastern Cape, Nomzulu, so we're saying, go to the radio stations, public diplomacy, find a way whether you can't find someone who speaks some of the indigenous languages about what we're doing, so that it has a better, because in radio, the last time we were discussing some workshop about media and communication was that 93 or so % of the people of South Africa listen to the radio in their cars, in their homes, at work, and then in the rural areas. And very few buy newspapers, then also few have TVs. But during the day, most people are working, they're on TVs. So it was something like that. So that's what we're trying to say. That's what she's saying with e-public diplomacy about the work we're doing. And of course, we thought we will visit provinces ourselves. Now, this is a move when something about the committee where we couldn't, and the department now, it has not been able to visit provinces on this work. I agree with what Kalyan and Kalyan was saying about what time frames. Other things will always be there. Your issue about the civil war in Syria, in DRC, the USA, and its challenges with the Guantanamo Bay, Israel in Palestine, Morocco and Western Sahara. You can't say those things must happen in 5 years. Those things just get presented to you, and then you say whatever you're saying, but you're mandating the minister and the department to raise those things in the applicable forum. And these fora are many. Some are G20, some are G77, some are SADC, some are Zimbabwe, DRC. SADC and AU, some are UN, General Assembly, some are UN, I think for my part, Minana, I want to join the members in congratulating the Secretariat led by Mrs. Dineo. Can I have this copy? We will, unless we see. When I'm going to find time, if I can find some 2 or 3 hours, just areas where we will try to change some sentences. So I realized somewhere that there were 2 thoughts that were put together in 1 line. We're supposed to say something then, and then we said comma, started a new thing. I just noted that these things don't belong together. And as Noma, they should bet in the committee now at 10 past 12 by and saying that line, that page, that line,
no,
that page, that topic.
We agreed with
that.
That
thing. So, if I could just try to look at that. And somewhere I thought that certain events or certain words are supposed to appear in capital letters. And the formatting, the formatting of the presentation, you are saying is prescribed by Parliament for all the committees.
The same thing.
You see, because the oversight work is all over, seems to be all over the show. I wonder, and I may be wrong, whether there's a part that could say the oversight work, then political presentations. Not that they are not part of the oversight, but political presentations from the department and other specialized agencies. And then that part, so that you see that and that. Manja, the way it is formatted, if it is prescribed this way, well.
But there is an annexure with all our oversight visits.
Oh.
It's attached here, page 22 and 23.
And then
it's very clear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then the... Well, maybe it's not going to work. The work that members of the committee do in the other structures, perhaps it's covered under what you've said, lack of conferment. The members, for instance, who are serving in the Pan African Parliament, you know, it's not under our direct oversight. But because the department is leasing on behalf of South Africa in terms of the WHO sacrament, then we say this leasing is expensive. But then it brings in another committee, another department, which is public works. And if you have to engage public works, you must start with a conferment with the portfolio committee on public works. Then it extends to property. Then there are other things about diplomacy, this issues that have been raised about difficulties that are encountered by business, South African companies. In the there is a bit of a negative attitude towards South Africa, depending on the country, particularly at the time when there are some xenophobic, the rise of xenophobic attacks in South Africa. They also respond in kind, that we think we are better than everyone, and yet we are making business in the continent. So. This thing of increasing taxes and threatening to withdraw licenses, etc. Then again, while this is a matter that we see here, what is it? The matter here, trade, here business, issue, what is there must be confirmation between this committee, the DTI, Patrol Committee, Honorable Fabs. Then any illegal deployment. I'm a trade that has shared my research today, one of the need to use Wednesday, it's not from Nagaso. But otherwise, the report is very good. Let's look at the way forward. We look at the minutes. And close off, perhaps by half a spot.
Yes, please.
Lots
of work to do. Yes.
The way forward, but I spoke to earlier on, Muti. Members can look at the committee and then mind them my impressions, then buy 2 million in. Nami goes in the Tolauti, Munendaranjani, time wise, to shift in the changes. Now, how you will see that there are changes? So, in the red, so what then? So, 2 million in. Then, if by Tuesday, I don't know Tuesday what time. Anyone who wants to make anything, go and we have to receive to them. And so that next week, if we happen to consider the report, we can possibly adopt it. That was, but otherwise, thank you very much for.
Thank you.
important. Let's also thank the members for their
useful input. The last item here is the adoption of the committee minutes.
We don't have a quorum.
Sister.
Just one matter, Chair, which was addressed by Honorable Karim, Chair, with regards to the budget of the committee. Mm-hmm. Chair, in the previous parliament, Chair, committees were allocated budget, but now at the beginning of the fifth parliament, all committees were operating on a consolidated fund. So no committee was allocated any funding.
We must motivate.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean to say they put us all in the same pot, we must accept it. You tell the next time that we have oversight work to do, it costs money. Who doesn't use their money, they must give it to us. We must motivate.
And it has been unfortunately abused.
Yeah, but I mean, that's Parliament's problem if it doesn't have a proper audit over its funds. And if that prevents us doing our work, I mean.
You are told you can't go somewhere, eh? Then someone uses that budget, goes somewhere else. You said
no quorum.
Informally we have no quorum.
No quorum.
No quorum.
Short of Mpumla. For any short of Mpumla. That's what you are saying.
Thank you. Thank you.
There's no quorum.
It's a bit late now. It's November already.
So what do we do?
So we wait till next week.
Let's defer.
Thank you.
Defer the minutes of the meeting is adjourned. No announcement.
No announcement. Mr. Babanda, where's your office?
Oh.
Wait. No, you're not out of your bed. What are you carrying in there? Crown jewels.
I like that
word. I like that word. I like that word.